Bibles to Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. 2 weeks ago, I preached on justification by faith, and I stated at that time that we would not be able to finish the message, and we would come back to it, the Lord willing. And here we, this Sunday, we want to re-enter into this subject, the justification by faith. And I will briefly outline what we've already covered so that those of you that may not have been here will not be totally in the dark. But we believe that Scripture teaches that sinners can appear in the presence of a holy God, and that this is a great mystery beyond human comprehension, but it's taught very clearly in the Scripture. And if you're a sinner here this morning, if you've ever committed a sin, I want you to think this through, that if you were called in the presence of God today, where would you stand? How would you stand? No sinner can stand in the presence of God in his own right, because the only thing that God will do for sinners who are standing in their own right is to condemn them. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. But to those sinners who have believed on Jesus Christ, they're justified by Jesus Christ, and they will enter into the joy and the presence of the Lord forevermore. You say, well, how can that be that one who is a sinner can become just and righteous? Well, it's through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's somewhat like this. If I had a wealthy friend and I was bankrupt and couldn't pay my bills and was owing for my place and was about ready to be put out on the street, and this wealthy friend went to my banker and said, I'm going to pay what Jim Settlemyer owes, every dime of it. You know, I could walk into that bank as soon as that was paid. Do I owe the bank anything? Not a dime. Why is that? Because my wealthy friend paid what I owed. That's what Jesus Christ does for his people. And the evidence that they are his people is they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you the definition of justification. Justification is an act of God's free grace. That means grace means without any merit. There's nothing that you do or that I do that will justify us or that is the cause of our justification. It's a free gift. God had mercy and compassion, and he extended this unto us in his grace, wherein he pardons all our sin and accepts us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ, not for anything that's in us. There's nothing there. Listen, we're sinners. We're violators of God's law and deserve his wrath. And it is only by his grace and mercy that he justifies us by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he does that by charging or imputing to us what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. That's the only way we can come out of our sinful condition and be saved and be happy with God forevermore. And how do we receive this justification? Well, it's by faith. Just as I read to you in the context of Acts 13 here, these Gentiles, when they heard this, they said, this is good news. And the gospel is good news because it tells sinners how they can be just with God. And they said, we want you to come and preach this unto us next Saturday. And Paul and Barnabas preached it to them. Now the Jews were angry because of that, because they despised the Gentiles and thought they were despicable and unworthy. They didn't know that the Old Testament had said that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be a light unto the Gentiles. They didn't remember that. And so as a consequence, they rejected everything. And they said, we're not going to have anything to do with this. And then notice in verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, that Christ should be a light unto them, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Faith is the means by which we receive justification. Now, I won't go over all of the points that we covered in the first message, but let me just mention a couple of them and give you the main ideas that's in them. Justification admits of no degree. Every person that's justified is on an equal plane. There's no people that are more justified than others, or there's none that are less justified. All that are justified are on the same plane exactly. And the justification is full and complete when it's given by the grace of God. You don't have to add anything to it, and you're not able to add anything to it. And it's simply given to you intact. And it is forever. It's not a justification that will last until you do something wrong or until your faith is weak. Justification is eternal. It can never be changed. Let me show you this in the scriptures. First of all, I'm going to take you to three scriptures. But first of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. This will tell us how the sinner is justified before God. So Paul says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, that is, we preachers, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled. You know, when you're at enmity with someone, you need to be reconciled to them before you can have any communion or fellowship with them. I don't know about you, but I've had to deal with some people that were at enmity with each other. And you can strive to make peace between them, and sometimes it's quite a proposition to do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ reconciled us to his Father by his sacrifice. And now in verse 21, but he hath made him. And I want you to get this idea, this thought. Jesus Christ was made sin for his people, for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here's what happened. Jesus Christ represented his people before the Father, and God said, I'm going to take their sins and put them on you, and you must bear them and eliminate them on the cross so that they no longer exist. Now go back to the Old Testament for the type and you get the picture. The scapegoat on the Day of Atonement was brought before the high priest, And the high priest put his hands on the head of that goat. And what did he do? He imputed the sins of Israel for the whole year on that goat. And he pressed his hands down on his head and confessed their sins on that goat. That's charging, that's imputing that goat with the sins of the people. That's a type. That goat couldn't take away sin. Only Christ can take away sin. And this points to Jesus Christ. So in essence, the Father put the sins of all those Christ represented on his head, and he had to bear them away forever. And that's how Christ was made sin for us and took away our sins, and we bear them no more. Now again, let me turn you to Romans 5 and verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam, how did I become a sinner? I didn't vote for it. I didn't ask for it. How did I get it? Because I'm a child of Adam, I got it. And you know, the theologians argue about it all the time. I don't care whether you understand it or not. There's a lot of things you use every day that you don't understand. You need to accept what God says about these things. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So all that Adam represented when he sinned in the garden, you see, Eve sinned first, but Adam was the head of the race. So the responsibility was his. And he could have said, no, I'm not going to eat that fruit, Eve. She offered it to him. He could have said no, but he knew that he would be separated from her in a horrible way. And so he ate of the fruit. And I think he did it intelligently, knew what he was doing. Now, so the judgment came upon the whole human race right then and right there. We got it. You say, I wasn't in the garden, so I don't know how I got it. It's just like the virus. It doesn't make any difference. You know how you got it or not. You got it anyway. And you got that, whether you know how you got it or not, whether you've ever understood it before, you're a sinner, and you know that you got it because you sin. Then he goes on to say, even so, or in the same manner, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life, that is, unto all that he represented. Not the human race. If Jesus Christ represented the human race on the cross, inescapable conclusion is that the whole human race would have been saved. Is that true? Of course not. Only those Christ represented are saved. They are manifested by faith in Jesus Christ. Once again, this is just to prove to you now that justification is full and complete when given. In Romans 3 and verse 24, being justified freely, that means without any cause in the sinner. Nothing in the sinner. The sinner didn't do anything for it. He wasn't able to do anything for it. He had no merit, no worth, but he got it freely without a cause. By his grace. Grace is always that way. Grace never looks over a group of sinners and says, there's a sinner that's got some merit, and I will be giving him the blessing. Does not work that way. No sinner has any merit. Look at the fallen angels. The Lord did not choose to save a single one of them. Myriads of them. We don't know how many. Millions, perhaps billions of them. And they turned their back on God and followed Lucifer, and he never saved a single one of them. Never sent a savior for them. Didn't owe it to them. They're sinners. And they're going to get what they deserve. And we're sinners. And by... only by the grace of God will we be kept from getting what we deserve. So therefore, he says, being justified freely without any cause in you by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Then justification, because of its nature and because it is unto life. Let me turn you back to Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men, but note that latter clause, unto justification of life. That means that it never can be taken back. It will never be unjustified. We're going to be justified for life. Then justification never needs to be repeated. It cannot be repeated. In order for it to be repeated, it would require Christ to come from heaven and go to the cross again and die again and rise again from the dead. It would require the Holy Spirit to renew and redo all of the blessings that he gives us as believers in Jesus Christ. That can never be. Can never need to be done and never will be done. Then in the next point, justification is absolutely just. There's no injustice in justification. That God takes a sinner that deserves to go to hell and was on his road to hell without God's grace and makes him so righteous that he can stand in the presence of God forevermore is not unjust, but it is a absolutely righteous act because Jesus Christ walked in, as it were, and shouldered the load of sin upon himself that was due unto the sinner, and he carried it to the cross and paid the full price of it. And that righteousness which he worked out is given to the believer. And everyone that believes on Jesus Christ has a perfect righteousness, and it's the righteousness of God, and there's no other righteousness in the whole universe, and that's the only righteousness that will let you as a sinner go into heaven. Therefore, Christ represented those that were given him by the Father to save, and those individuals, he paid the price for them, and those individuals during their lifetime come to the point that they believe on Jesus Christ by God's grace. Remember the publican that went up to the temple? He said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, that man, in contrast to the other man, the Pharisee, he said, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Why? He believed on Jesus Christ. That's how a sinner is justified, and it's absolutely just. The next place, justification includes pardon, but is distinct from pardon. There's a great resemblance between justification and pardon. Pardon is when an individual is guilty before the law, but he is pardoned by the governor, the president, or whoever. But you realize that he's still a transgressor. He's still a, whatever he was, if he was convicted of murder and was pardoned, he's still a murderer. Even though he's pardoned, he doesn't have to bear the penalty, but he's still what he was. But justification is different in this respect, that the justified sinner is no longer guilty. Therefore, as Booth says, both are gifts of grace. Both are given to the same person at the same time. Both are communicated through the mediation of Christ, yet they are distinct. For when a sinner is pardoned, he is considered still a transgressor. But when a justified person is when a person is justified, he's considered as righteous, because he has the righteousness of Christ. Justification is also a gracious act, and I've already alluded to it, but in no way dependent upon the sinner, either before he's saved or before he's justified or after he's justified. The work of Christ will never fade out. It will never go away. You know, there's some things, it's kind of like invisible ink. You can write on a piece of paper with invisible ink and you can see it very well when you write it, but in a few minutes it will vanish. Well, some people think that's the way it is with the justified work of Jesus Christ, that it will vanish away, but not so. It carries on. And we are justified freely by his grace, and that grace continues to hold us up and will for all eternity. Then justification is never given to a sinner without faith. Now hear me out. No sinner can ever know the justification of Jesus Christ except by faith. Let me turn you to a few verses. We'll look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, where Paul is writing on this very subject of justification. And he says in the 24th verse of the third chapter, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." You can't have justification without faith. It's the gift of God, and it will require faith, and he gives us faith. Notice also in the same book, chapter 2 and verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." That is, some people have the idea that if you do enough good, you can go to heaven. But let me illustrate that for you. Suppose a man is guilty of murder. And say he killed your only son. And by some quirk of the law, he gets off. And he's free, he's a free man. Walking the streets. And he comes over and says, "Hey, I'm going to mow your lawn, help you out a little bit." Is that likely? Is that something you would receive or welcome? Of course not. Why? Because he is a murderer and he killed your son. And doing good deeds like mowing your lawn or washing your windows is not going to change that, and you're never going to be able to receive him. So, therefore, by the works of the law, by deeds you do, you can't be justified but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That is, by believing on Jesus Christ, then you can be justified. And even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Don't. Deeds are not involved in the justification of a sinner. There's no good deeds that you can do. None of them are there. Then That indicates that justification is never founded on anything the sinner does. That is, it's nothing that he does. Even his believing is not the ground of justification. His faith is only the means by which he receives justification. Faith alone justifies, but not that faith which is alone. And then, finally, this doctrine is to be preached to men indiscriminately. And by that, we believe that it is what Christ commissioned us to preach everywhere and at all times. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel that reveals the righteousness of Jesus Christ and that tells sinners that if you believe on Jesus Christ, you'll be justified, you'll be saved from everlasting condemnation. And it must therefore be preached. Now, let me give you some examples of that. I want to turn you, first of all, to Mark, the last chapter, and verse 15. And this is our Lord now, after his resurrection, and here he's giving his commission to his disciples. And he says in the 15th verse of Mark 16, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You know what he was saying? He's saying, I want this gospel proclaimed worldwide. Every creature, every human being, I want them to hear the good news of the gospel. And again, in Luke chapter 24, now we have this in every gospel, but in Luke 24 and verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name." What does he mean by that? That those that believe the gospel, their sins will be remitted and that they will receive justification through Jesus Christ. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Then turn back to our text chapter, Acts 13, and notice with me in verse 32, Acts 13, 32, Paul and Barnabas declare, "And we declare unto you glad tidings." That's good news. "How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that they have raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy holy one to see corruption." And he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when Christ arose from the dead, he came forth the victor over death, hell, and the grave. And everyone that believes on him has eternal life, is justified by the grace of God and can never be condemned. That's good news. That's the glorious news. For every sinner knows that he cannot stand before God in his own right. He is utterly condemned by his sins. And we know that that's what we are by nature. And only through Jesus Christ can we be forgiven and cleansed. And therefore, he says in verse 38, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. You want your sins forgiven? You're a sinner? You ought to want them to be forgiven because you know they will condemn you and take you to hell. There's no way to escape the flames of hell if you've got sin on you. Jesus Christ is the only one who can take away your sins. And he says, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, by Jesus Christ, all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And as an incentive to every sinner to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to believe on Jesus Christ, because he has promised that everyone that believes on him shall be saved. Every believing sinner will be saved. We have believed on him. Notice with me in John 3 and verse 36. These are precious scriptures. He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. There's the balance. One side and the other. Are you a justified believer this morning? Do you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted him by his grace? Is your faith given to believe in Jesus Christ? That's what we're responsible to do. Every sinner has this message preached to him when he hears the gospel. When you hear the gospel, that's what Christ is saying. Be ye reconciled. And if you're reconciled to Jesus Christ, you're justified. You are ready to meet God because you have no sins to answer for. Your sins are forgiven and cleansed, and as if they never existed. And when you stand in heaven, justified by the grace of God, you will be as bright, as clean, as shining as Jesus Christ himself. There is no sin left on the believer when he looks to Jesus Christ, because he's justified by the righteousness and the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you a justified sinner this morning? May the Lord bless you, my prayer.